So I'm Blanca Quesada, and with me today is a group or theater workshop with Mario Durham, Greg Montgomery, Beth Smith, and Catherine Rivnell, and their director, Joe Watts. They are in the Southwestern premiere production of the outstanding and award-winning play, Life of the Party, by Doug Hausclaw and Ms. Eleanor Munger. She is the founder of Omega House. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
First of all, what is The Life of the Party all about?
It's an award-winning script by Doug Hausclaw, who lives in San Francisco, and it concerns a group of gay friends dealing with the 80s lifestyle, which involves the AIDS crisis, and it concerns how the friend, it's really more about the friends and how they relate to their friend who has AIDS, how they deal with it, what type of support system they develop through the crisis. It's not as heavy as it may sound. It's really got a lot of wonderful humor. In fact, the entire first act is just very comic. Very brilliantly funny. The second act hits more on the issue of AIDS and gets a lot more serious, but it's equally tender. It's not just mega depressing, is the way I like to look at it. It's I think it's going to be a very rewarding experience for a lot of people, and I'm very proud of directing this particular script, and especially with the cast that I have for the show.
Are you doing Life of the Party because it shows how we should support each other?
You bet.
I mean, we've been hearing a lot about the problem itself and trying to understand it, but not much has been said about support. So will this help us understand?
Well, fortunately now most of the emphasis is on education, which is wonderful, and that's important too. I think that there's a certain amount of education value in this script that will benefit people. Education in terms of not the medical aspects per se, but educational in learning how to deal with this particular issue, how to come to terms or to grips with your feelings about it, which could apply to any kind of a health crisis type thing that's life-threatening. But it's particularly exclusive, of course, in this script. But it's educational in that respect, but it's very enlightening. It's very emotional.
Well, can you read some of the script for us?
Sure, we'd love to. This first little scene that we're going to do is the opening of Act 2, when Brad, who is the PWA person with AIDS, is around his friends, and it's the first time that they've all been together since they have known that he's a PWA. Really, this is just a short scene between Brad, played by Mario Durham, and Andrew, played by, well, Curtis, played by Greg Montgomery.
Okay.
You know, I'd like to die a noble death filled with love for all mankind, but I think I'm too smart for that. As if it's not bad enough to be dying, I'm supposed to be embarrassed about it.
Have you told your mother yet?
How can I tell her? It'll kill her. When I was going to the clinic the other day, there was this guy and his mother on the elevator. He was totally wasted. He looked like he weighed about 90 pounds, lesions all over his face. Oh, and she was dressed to kill. I mean, she thought she was. You could tell she had tried. Hair up to here, false eyelashes out to there. And she hated being in that elevator. She knew everyone was staring at them. You could see the strain on her face. And I loved her so much for being there. But I don't know if I could put my mother through that.
Well, she must love you a lot.
Of course she does. She's my mother. I'm sorry. I wanted this to be fun like old times.
Well, I had fun yesterday, so don't worry about it.
Brad, how do you feel playing, Brad is the character, but Mario, how do you feel playing this character?
Well, it's very interesting as we've been going through rehearsals. I've been feeling a lot of the relationships. That's what struck me the most. How people treat you differently when you have AIDS. Everyone starts being careful around you. Even your old friends start trying to not play with you and treating you like you're some special case. So I've been touched by that. I've also been touched by the caring that you feel from other people when this happens. A different side of everyone seems to come out, a more wonderful side, actually. Everyone really, really starts to care about you. So those are the two main things that have touched me, playing this character.
Were you afraid at first?
I was afraid of approaching a character that was dying. Yeah, so I did approach the role with some apprehension.
Mm-hmm. It's a very strong role.
Yes, it scared me a little bit, yes.
What about you, Greg?
Well, I think that more than being a play about AIDS, it is really a play about relationships and the inner relations between very close friends. As you say, Mario, the new things that come out in people's characters when they have to face adversity, there's no fair weather friends here. The things come out in people that maybe are hidden for so long until you need to have a certain strength or an inner strength to come out. And I think that's one of the magical things about the show, is to show that support, the coping with the situation, not falling apart, but going on. It's a play about life. It's not a play about death. And even though death has to be coped with, the major theme is life goes on and we must stay together.
Right, and it doesn't matter if you have AIDS or cancer or whatever, you have to show support for the person.
Right.
You know, and more understanding. Even though with AIDS, of course, there's still a lot that we don't know about, and it scares people a little bit more.
It does.
But you have to show that support, you know. And are there more scenes that you brought along?
Oh, sure.
This next one is a monologue. The script has six roles, five males and one female. The female is a lesbian character by the name of Willa, who has her own cleaning service called Pig of My Heart Cleaning Service. And she actually cleans for Brad. She cleans Brad's apartment. And she connects beautifully with the gay men in the show and becomes another link in Brad's support system. This is just one particular monologue that Willa has in the play.
I've been going to school for some time now. I'm what they call a six-year senior, or what with changes in majors, and I lost some credits when I transferred out here, a semester off here and there. I've had every kind of part-time job conceivable. I've done everything short of selling encyclopedias door-to-door. I was even a bicycle messenger for a day once. Well, then I got this job cleaning apartments. Well, the service, they charge $10 an hour, and I get half. Well, after about a month, I thought, screw this. And I took out an ad and got some business cards printed up, and voila, Pig of My Heart Cleaning Service. I make more money than I ever have in my life, and I can work my hours around my classes. My parents aren't thrilled about it, but they'd rather I was a receptionist or something. My mom says at least I'm learning domestic skills. She never gives up. When I told my parents that I was a lesbian, they said that they accepted it even if they didn't understand it. Well, then the next day she went out and bought me a pair of culottes and some hot curlers. I like cleaning apartments. You learn a lot about people. Sometimes more than you'd care to know. And I like cleaning for gay men the best because you never know what to expect. I tell you, some of the stories that I could tell. Of course, that would be unprofessional. Let's just say that I accept them, even if I don't understand them.
Catherine, how do you feel about doing this play?
I'm very excited about it and honored to be a part of it. I think this issue is an issue that involves every one of us, regardless of our sexuality. As Greg said, we all have to support each other. It's not something that we can ignore.
Right, now we're understanding that it's not just a homosexual problem that, like everybody thought, now it's children and everybody.
It's everyone. Sooner or later, I believe it's going to affect every one of us in some way.
Right.
And the sooner we start learning how to deal with it, the better.
Right. Would you happen to have one more scene? These scenes are great.
As a matter of fact, we could do the whole play if you like.
Sure, why not?
Then they wouldn't pay their money and come see. We need their money. This final scene that we brought today is a confrontation scene between two of Brad's friends, Curtis, played again by Greg Montgomery, and Jay, played by Buzz Smith, and it's a time has passed. Brad's been in the hospital for a few weeks. They have met at a bar, and they're having a conversation, and I think the rest is self-explanatory, so we'll just take it from there. Andrew still calls me to see if I'm checking in on Brad. The nerve! I've been friends with Brad longer than he has.
Have you been checking in?
Well, yeah, I call him, but it's so hard. I don't know what to say.
Just say what you would normally say.
Brad was always my confessor. You know, the one you called at 2 in the morning or knew you could hit up for $20.
Maybe he needs us now.
Also, what am I supposed to say when he asks how I am? Work is driving me crazy. Andrew broke my heart. I'm so horny I could scream, big deal, he's dying. It's just so hard to be around him. I can't forget about it for a second, and he can tell. He can see that.
We just have to treat him the way we always did.
Oh, sure. Brad? Jay? How's your AIDS? Can I borrow $20?
You know, you probably could.
Oh, come on, please. I'm dealing with this the best I can. Brad knows I care about him, and I'm sorry if I can't rip off my clothes knowing he's got it. It just freaks me out. There've got to be other ways to prove my friendship.
Well, you better start finding them, because if you don't, you're the one that's going to be left holding the bag.
When Brad got pneumonia, it was like all this crap you read about, which I always managed to keep at arm's length, came crashing down around me. I just don't know what to think anymore. Everything seems so bleak. Let Andrew make him chicken soup and pastries I can't cook. I don't know what I can do for him.
Sometimes I think the best thing I can do is just stay away.
God, you're an idiot.
Oh, come on, Curtis. I don't know what to
Brad
do.
Brad has AIDS and you're feeling sorry for yourself.
Well, I'm scared.
Well, so am I, Jay. But if this is the way faggots are going to treat each other through this, how do we expect everybody else to act?
I know you're right, but...
We're going to lose our Brad, honey.
I can't think about it. I just can't imagine not having him around.
I know, but that's all the more reason to treat him well now. It's not like you don't like him.
I love Brad.
Well, then what's the problem?
I sent flowers to the hospital.
I'm sorry, that's just not enough. Now, he's coming home from the hospital tomorrow. Andrew's picking him up.
Figures.
You know he's dying to see you.
Terrific.
That's not what I meant.
That's what I mean, though. How can you say anything around him? Everything comes out wrong.
Get over yourself, honey. I'm tired of your excuses.
Will you come with?
I'll come with.
Buzz, do you think that it's easier to understand this problem of AIDS when you know someone that has it? Or...
Yeah, it's easier to understand the problem. What is not been easy is to understand solutions to the problem. And the main problem with AIDS is the lack of education. And this is not something that can be picked up casually. And that is the biggest problem that we're facing right now. There is still so much bad information out. And people need to be aware of the facts and to get the facts, how this disease is transmitted. Once the facts are understood and felt, you know, and they're incorporated, then people are going to learn how to react appropriately. And that's one of the good points about my character. He is trying to learn how to react appropriately because he's scared to death, like so many people are. And it's only a natural response to be scared in the face of something like this when there has been so little good information. But we're getting to the point where we don't have to worry like we did before. And I'm glad to see us finally getting to a new plateau in our understanding of this disease.
Mm-hmm. Even though this play deals with homosexuals, the play is actually for the general public. I mean, it's you're showing that no matter who you are, you can, you know, show a strong friendship and show that support that everyone needs.
Definitely, because emotions, they run for everybody. I don't care, gay, straight, any grouping that you want to come up with, people's emotions are the same.
Right.
They
Nobody's
run the
different.
Thread, yes, through right. humanity.
Joe, is this the first play that you've directed for AIDS? Or about AIDS, actually?
No. I directed a play, produced and directed a play as a benefit for the AIDS Foundation in the fall of 85, which was the first play in Houston to deal with AIDS. It was a one-man show called One. Kent Johnson, who was in the Young Company with the Alley a couple of years ago, played the PWA. And I'm especially proud of that show because it was included in the 10 best list in theater productions of 1985 in the Houston Post. I didn't know that I wanted to do another play about the subject. Because when I did One, it was a very emotional, very draining experience. Very, very, because it was just Kent and I in a room alone together for a month, trying to understand, trying to create something natural and beautiful that the audience would be able to understand and relate to when we didn't have any experience or anything to go on. I knew one PWA at the time, who has since gone, who I dedicated the production to. But I had wanted to do this particular play for Gay Pride Week production, which I'm responsible for more or less each year. And everybody, I told them that it had an AIDS theme, and they said, forget it. Don't do it. We don't want to see it. Do something funny, something uplifting, please. And I said, okay. So I picked a fun little script called Gulp, which is a beach musical. And we had a lot of fun with it. A lot of people enjoyed it. But I kept coming back to the script. It's so wonderful. It's so well written. I had to do it. And again, it's painful. It's been painful in a lot of ways to every one of us associated with the production. But it's been more rewarding than it's been painful. Or maybe the pain's rewarding. I don't know. But it's been great.
Mm-hmm. Well, Life of the Party is an award-winning play, particularly in the Bay Area, right?
Mm-hmm. It won two awards in San Francisco. I have to stop and think what they were. One was a Will Gluckman Award for Best New Playwright of the Year, and also a Cable Car Award. Say that 10 times real fast. As Outstanding Theater Production of 1986, three Bay Area Critic Circle nominations. So it's worthy.
It sure is. Eleanor Munger is the founder of Omega House. Eleanor, why did you decide to do this?
Well, I felt strongly called to work with AIDS patients when it first came to my attention in about 83 and 84. And it took some time preparing and testing against that wish to see if it was what I was really called to do. Proved to be so. And I went to work after training with the AIDS Foundation volunteer program. I was with the ambulatory patients at McAdory House for a year and a half. During that time, I saw that when the patients worsened and couldn't come back to McAdory House from their hospital stay because we didn't have nursing built into that at that level of nursing, and patients were really getting close to death, they would say to me, Eleanor, if I could only go home. And I began to study in my mind what home meant to them. And in varying degrees, it really meant the same thing. A place where they were loved dearly, where they were accepted unconditionally, where they were treated with dignity and felt of value in their dying, and also where they could have friends and freedom to move about and be in a comfortable and beautiful, though simple, surrounding. And that was the next thing I had to do. And I had a great deal of very good help. What you can't do by yourself, you can do with the support of many others whose hearts are moved.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the experiences that you've had at Omega House?
Experiences that are spoken to in the play, I think, would probably be very interesting and are the cry of going home expresses the human need. It isn't a house. It isn't an empty house is not a home. Home is a place where there are other people who respond to you. And this is what we all need. I couldn't have founded Omega House without people that responded to me and to the need that I had seen and responded to. And that is what home is. It's where you're loved. And that is what our patients need, just what we hear in the play, the support of the people that have been around them that they have loved. When this falls away, they're just like the newborn infants that are abandoned. They don't die for want of nourishment. They don't die from want of medicine. They die from want of love. And it's a human characteristic.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that sometimes a lot of these patients have lost their families?
Yes.
And their families come back to them when...
This has happened frequently, and it's one of the things that we are very, very grateful to be able to do, is to build some bridges. We feel that we have made some bridges in their family's relationship, that we have some bridges into the community in Houston that were not there when we first began.
So do you feel that there should be more homes in Houston like yours?
Oh, yes. I think it would be a wonderful thing. And one of the things that we hope to do as we expand is not to lose that touch of its being home. Just this week we had a patient who was taken out by some new acquaintances, not old friends, people that thought they could help. They really didn't know how to treat a patient. I'm sure they intended to do a good job when they started, but perhaps they even got frightened, I'm not sure. But we were very gratified by his call for help. He told them they should take him to Omega House at once because that was his home, and he wanted to go home. And we felt like that was a real gift to us, that he knew exactly where he wanted to go.
Do you have a lot of volunteers that help you?
Yes, we have a wonderful list of volunteers. They come from all walks of life. They bring us many, many gifts and a lot of expertise. We had started with the medical staff that volunteered to help us, and we have many registered nurses and our volunteers. And we don't make any comparisons between our volunteers because you can't. They all bring something that we couldn't do without there.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you happen to need more?
Not always. Always, because Houston in itself is a city that is constantly changing, you know. People come here and then they're called away, and their positions aren't fixed always, so people are coming and going. Many people, we have to watch, you know, to help many people take a break so that they don't get burnout, because it is not easy work. We never said it was easy work. It's glorious work, but it's heartbreaking work. And it has those two very extreme sides to it that keep one stretched, you know. So you have to have some R&R frequently.
Mm-hmm. Well, where can we call you to volunteer?
Well, Omega House's telephone number is 523-1139, and we would love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. Well, besides getting more education on what AIDS is all about, how else or what else can we do to be able to help besides support groups? How else can we help?
Well, I think just in general contact with the public when they start talking about AIDS and you hear that they're not really properly informed, or they've heard the wrong thing, or perhaps not listened carefully, I think you can very politely and gently correct them, help them to rid themselves of fear and find out what they can do that's constructive. Get fear out of the families so that these children that need to go to school will not be ostracized, but can go to school with their own peers. Because it is, has been said over and over, it is a very difficult disease to contract. And there is not the need for this excessive fear. And it's between us and success in finding a prevention.
How has Omega House helped in the production of Life of the Party?
Well, I visited Omega House just yesterday, and I kept myself open to my feelings, and I went in to see the patients and to see the feelings that I would have, and I was deeply moved with the feeling and the emotions that I had towards the patients that were there. I communicated to the cast last night about I had strong feelings of fear, strong feelings of, you know, of love and compassion for these people that I saw, and it gave me a true sense of reality in dealing with this. So often in a play, you won't have an opportunity to really experience what the characters are going through. But in this play, since it's about AIDS, we have that opportunity to actually, you know, be involved with people who have this disease that we're talking about in the play. So that's that help that I told the cast last night.
I'd like to say how not just how Omega House has helped, but how much Eleanor Munger has helped.
Yes.
When I called her and asked her if she would come on this program with me, she said, well, I'd like to read a script of the play. And I said, what about coming to a rehearsal? And she beamed, and her voice got bright, and she said, oh, could I? And shared with me the fact that she was a drama major in college and had leads in different productions, and she was very, very excited about coming to a rehearsal, which she did about 2 weeks ago, and I was sort of surprised but thrilled after the rehearsal. She sort of just took charge. And she started giving the actors notes. And they were wonderful, wonderful notes that related to things that probably went back to her training in theater, but specifically things that helped us understand the particular issue that we were dealing with, and who would know that better than somebody that's been helping people find a home for several years. But she's been delightful, and we're just thrilled that she's been a part of this experience with us.
Well, when is the play, and where, and what time? And
all that?
Yeah.
The play will run Monday and Tuesday evenings from October 26th through November 17th. At Kindred Spirits, which is 4902 Richmond.
It's by 610, right?
Yeah. It's the first building inside the loop on Richmond at 610. And reservations can be made, should be made. Please make them. At 623-6135. And again, it's Monday and Tuesday evenings, October 26th through November 17th, 8 p.m. curtain, Kindred Spirits, 4902 Richmond, reservation 623-6135. I just thought I'd repeat it so you wouldn't have to.
Thank you. And I'm sure you're going to get a lot of reservations because it's a great play. Like we said, it's an award-winning play. It's Life of the Party, and it deals with AIDS, but not in a very, it's still kind of strong, but it's comical in some parts, and it'll help you understand that we all need to support each other. I would like to thank you very much for being with me. It's Mario, Greg, Buzz, Catherine, and the director, Joe Watts, and of course, Miss Eleanor Munger, she is the founder of Omega House, for being with me for this week's edition of ¿Qué pasa? I'm Blanca Quesada.